All right, things
are
happening.
That's us.
Yeah, we are live. That is us. Salutations, everybody. It is Maddie here with episode 200, our special episode for the Ham Radio Podcast.
And it's me, Carrick, with ACG.
Carrick, we've made it. How many episodes have you been a part of this? Do you remember when you joined?
I don't, but somebody in your Discord was saying that, like, now I think I've been one of the longer, like, parts of it, which I didn't even realize, but it especially because you're so good at making sure you actually do them, which is not something I do. So, like, we'll miss one and shit, and you're like, dude, you're pretty militant. You're like, if I'm dying, if I've got a kidney transplant, then Carrick needs to do this podcast. So it's been a long time. It's been a while, though, for sure.
You know, I think you joined – we started working together – around No Man's Sky, I want to say, right? That was 2017 summer.
Yeah, but remember when we first started talking? I might have come on one time before that because it was Fallout 4's review that you posted on, and right. I don't know when that came out, but you posted pretty much. I went live, and then I think you posted right then, and we're like, you know, hey, I like the review, blah blah blah, and then we started talking.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely you might have, because we started the show. Oh, man, I want to say 2014. So, yeah, you're probably nearing being the longest tenured...
yeah, that's crazy.
...member of the podcast, outside of myself, I guess. But anyway, what we're trying to do with this episode, if you couldn't tell, the vibe's a little different. We're live on Twitch right now as we record this, so if you're listening to the pre-recorded segment, or rather the recorded segment afterwards, we're going to be trying to interact with the Twitch chat. We're going to be getting questions as we go along. We didn't do much of a big announcement because we kind of wanted to, like, surprise people, but we'll see how it goes down the line. Like I said, this is kind of an experiment. But anyway, what's going on? Ace, Bruce Campbell, thank you guys for being such early birds to the show. Really only one major announcement for the show this time around. The reason we didn't have any big, big announcements is because over time, as we as we did this show, we added, like, a new graphic for the overlay. We added a new thumbnail overlay, which are huge for us because it kind of adds to the feeling of a little more professionalism to the show. And there's a format, and you can separate it from other content. And we kind of had a rhythm for the show where we didn't want to, like, force change just for the sake of it being 200. But one segment we can announce and guarantee is we're now doing Patreon and Discord questions consistently. This will forever be a show closer. So what we want you guys to do is, if you are a part of the Patreon, Discord, and if you're lucky people in the Twitch chat, we will pick out your questions at the end of the show. And we're going to go right through all of them, answer them, keep a discussion going, and close out focusing on you guys who make this show possible. So that's kind of our major thing when it comes to show editions. Like I said, we talk week in, week out about the news. For those who have been around since the very dawn of this show, you guys know that this originally was just a Bethesda news show. So we've changed quite a lot, and that's why we didn't want to disrupt anything that we had going along the way. So we will look to add more segments over time, but we don't want to get so structured that it doesn't let us branch out all too often.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's kind of the big deal. In the terms of upcoming projects for me, I'm traveling to LA next week. I'm going to be testing Borderlands 3 out, doing a lot of coverage, interviewing devs, obviously impressions on the game. That's kind of the big thing on my plate right now because I'm finally done with all the reviews. Days Gone's done. Mortal Kombat's done. We'll be talking about that later. Carrick, what about you, though, man? Any big projects on the plate? Are you taking some well-deserved rest?
I am taking a day of... Well, we did one day of rest this weekend where we did Board Game Day. But, yeah, nice. I'm definitely going to take a day or two of rest. And then I'm doing an audio video on... an audio video. That sounds weird. On Days Gone. Because I think, despite, you know, some of the issues I had, that audio in that game at times is really good. I want to cover some of the 3D audio. Yeah. And just that fucking audio and music are mattering so much in games. And it's awesome that people are talking about it. So... I will do a video about that at some point. I'm not 100% sure how it's going to release. Could also just be on Twitch as well. And then probably some Twitch games this weekend. But yeah, I'm not 100% sure. Just sitting back, eating Pop-Tarts, getting fat. I'm working out all the time because my Pop-Tart addiction has become stupid. Stupid.
What's your favorite type? Do you at least get a
raspberry or strawberry? Yeah.
Okay. So
any of the berries, I like a little bit of tart. But dude, it's like it's become a running joke in my Discord. Like it's stupid because I just don't have time. So I'm like, Pop Tarts. One day I was like, hey, Pop Tarts are easy to eat. So it's like I'll sit there and my wife was like, you realize you haven't eaten like normal food in like 6 days, right? And I'm all, no, I haven't. But I'm talking and there's like bits of it in the PS4 controller. I'm like, man, I need to calm the fuck down. So. I will also be, we're going to start getting ready for a cancer, like a donation stream.
Nice.
We're going to be doing, yeah, a long stream for cancer, probably 48 hours where it'll be two of us, 24 if it's just me, but one of the people in the Discord has never done it before. And they were like, and I trustworthy, right? It's not like I'm handing over the channel.
I was going to say, hold up.
Hand over the channel to somebody. They're just brand new. I'm like, hey, man, go for it. But yeah, that's the big thing I want to do is at least one or two of those as well.
Awesome. So you got a full plate. And I'm glad you're not one of those people who doesn't have Pop-Tarts without the frosted top. That's so important. You can really tell a lot about someone when that shit
you
happens.
You can. there's people like us and then everybody else. That's pretty much the way it is. Yeah.
So I will say this just because I'm realizing now. Actually, hold on. Wait, that might be incorrect. Okay, nope, never mind. There is a timer on the bottom. I can do timestamps. I was about to say, All right, we're good. Timestamps will still be, as always, in the link in the description down below as we move on to our first segment of the show, or technically second. We're going to be talking about Days Gone, though. One of the major reviews that came out this week for both Carrick and I was Days Gone. I believe we saw eye to eye on it that, generally speaking, you know, this story was solid at times, it often had pacing issues, rather, and there were moments of excellence there, but it was just such a scattered, up-and-down journey, not in a good way. So let's hear from you first, because, you know, some people may come to my channel and not watch you. So let's hear from you. What is your general thoughts on Days Gone?
I liked a lot of it, but it had a good number of technical issues, still does. I checked it with patch 1.4. And I think that especially when it comes to when it comes to gameplay devices, like the only way you can get to the repetition of a game is by doing the initial actions. I think that takes a couple hours. And so when people first got it this morning, I heard a lot of people going, hey man, I'm really liking it. And then later,
of course,
all of a sudden I started getting people going like, okay, now I'm actually seeing like there is some things missing that you would sort of expect. I think as a game, when you and I talk about Microsoft exclusives, we're like hoping for the great one. Mm. That's the honest truth, right? Mm. We're hoping for the great one because there haven't been a number of them, which you and I, we both like their games or may dislike them depending, but there haven't been a ton of great exclusives.
Right.
PS4 has had a ton, and then you get this, and it's a little odd at times on where it is. It's almost like it tries to do a full-on Last of Us, a full-on Uncharted, and then it's missing a lot of the gameplay devices. Mm-hmm. I think both you and I expected. We were held pretty tight on that NDA, so it was hard to like find out what other people were thinking because you don't want to break the NDA. So you're just sitting there, and I was like, I have this sinking feeling people are going to be really surprised by the scores. And they were lower than I think I expected.
Really? Okay.
I didn't. Dude, it's like at WWZ numbers, which I know I liked, but a lot of people didn't. So I was just like, and State of Decay is only like 3 points difference, which I'm not 100% sure.
Might say something about zombie games.
It might, and that's another thing, right? Just don't you agree that
genre
that might
that's
be
hard
the
to build something fresh and new in?
Yeah. And third person, again, there were some issues with the aiming. Somebody told me something today, which I should have mentioned in my review, but I did not think of it. So they're smarter than me. And they said, do you realize there's no first person? So you can't cheat your way through the bad aiming in third person. And I was like, because that's true. The third person isn't great. It's not horrifying to me, but it's middling, I would say. And some guns are better. I really like the crossbow and stealth. But when he said that, I was like, that's true. Where like Red Dead, you had the first person. So if you had issues with third person aiming, you could jump in and check it out. With this game, there isn't that. And I think that's legitimate. Like that's a very legitimate, not that it should be added. It's just, I can see why that bothers people. Mm. Yeah. Overall, I think the scores are probably right. 70 to 80 is also where a lot of my jewels exist too, though.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I capped off my story segment in my review. I said I got this feeling while I was reviewing it, though, that while I didn't like it, and some were like, you were way too harsh on it. I was like, I think I was quite the opposite because I love post-apocalyptic games. But while I was reviewing it, I was thinking to myself, I got this sinking feeling of, you know, there are going to be a lot of people who like this game. And whether my exact words in the review were whether that's because all the other Sony exclusives are so good for the most part, or because people genuinely like what's there, I think it's because there's some real strong moments throughout that might make the journey worthwhile to people. It's just that, you know, it's funny. We were talking about your soda last week, right? How generico.
And yeah.
It's right. Kind of what Days Gone suffers from. It doesn't do anything particularly bad. The only thing I think is bad is its technical stuff, which we'll get into in a little bit. But nothing about the game is really bad. It's just generic stuff we've seen before. But that doesn't mean, like I said, it's awful, which I tried to really emphasize in my review. Like, nothing about it, I was like, this is bad, this is awful. The only thing I really also didn't like in the terms of something that's a part of the story gameplay experience was that I felt like you were always this close to a character opening up, like always throughout the story. Like, they were about
to say
something.
You mean their narrative, right?
Yeah, and they're yeah. about to open up, you're about to learn more, and then they go, just stop, or just can it. Or, hey, leave it be. You know, it's like, all right, fuck, man. Like, I want to get to know these characters. And it's almost like, you know how, like, in a lot of games, the gameplay dangles the carrot and it does, like, loot boxes or something like that, and it keeps you chasing for it, presumably at least. Well, in Days Gone, the story is what the carrot is in this strange way, which we never see. And it's because they're constantly dangling, like, oh, you might find something out soon. Maybe. No. And sometimes, and a lot of times, you don't, which is really disappointing. But, overall, let's talk about the technical issues, which I think is what really, really hurt this game. So, for you, I saw in your review, you highlighted some bugs. The ones I experienced were, I was driving along one time, I was going into one of those tunnels, and part of the ground didn't load in. So I was on, like, some type of terrain, but part of the road didn't load in, so it was half the road, and that caused a lip before entering the tunnel. So I drove into this lip, and I went flying and died. And then I went back, and then it didn't load at all, and I fell through. And then,
no shit. Okay.
And gotcha. So then third time worked. I was like, all right, whatever. Because then they released patches, and each time the game got a little better. But in this patch 1.4, I had one of my worst frame drops, which I was talking about for about 3 hours. And it was like, oh, man. Now, you said this in a tweet. I agree. I'm happy they are, you know, trying to post more patches, you know, working on the game as fast as possible. And the game doesn't lack heart, which is a thing that's also important to emphasize. But overall, you could tell that this was a very muddied project, probably mismanaged based off those technical issues. Would you like to go into some more tech stuff that you experienced throughout your playtime?
Yeah, and you weren't the only one who had the game load. I actually just watched a Twitch stream before my last podcast, and they were playing, and that's exactly what happened, is it didn't load up. So we checked it with an SSD PS4 to see if that was what it was, and it still happens. I'm not 100% sure what goes on there, but I had it more than you, but I did not have the lip issue. Thank God.
That only happened once, I should say.
That kills me. It used to happen older games a lot when you were playing those big, like a Saints Row. Saints Row was notorious for that shit. Or it'd freeze as you went through two cells, and you'd just you'd lose your save game. But 1.4, while I'm so happy that they're patching it, because I do think that there's something there. I was actually surprised. I got the worst frame drops as well. So I rebooted, then I rebuilt the PS4 database, thinking either one of those two could have caused it. Because I was like, what's happening? Because it was happening on both PS4s, the new one and the old one. And I still had fairly terrible FPS drops in weird places, mind you. These are not normal spots. So the weird one I had this morning was I was doing audio testing for the video, and I left the middle of the camps, the Fallen Lake, the one that's by the huge lake. Yes.
Right.
So I got on my motorbike. I take a right, and I just start driving, and I'm outside, and there's nothing there. There's you know, trees and scrubs, nothing big. And, man, it went – the counter said it was down in the, like, 15, which for a 30 FPS game can feel pretty rough.
Yeah.
And it stayed there, and then it went back up. And when it went to 25 for a second, I was like – hey, it's smooth, and I wasn't looking at the counter. I was like, okay, now it looks smooth again. And then I realized when I looked at the counter, I'm like, shit, it's still at 25. So ran it through Adobe, counted frames manually. Yeah, it was at 25. I don't know what's going on there. There are weird spots, though, I will say that, because I fought a horde, multiple hordes. Those weren't frame drops. It was frame drops while walking.
Exploring.
just exploring. And never, here's another thing, Maddie. It was frame drops more often. This just dawned on me, in the desert sections than in the the forest, where you would expect them to happen. So that,
yeah, I noted that's that very myself. Odd. I did note the desert. I was looking for something happening in the world to kind of make the frame drop occur. And what I thought it was maybe loading in draw distance, loading in objects up close, and maybe too much detail. Because even though, like, in the desert, you think, like, okay, there's just some trees, some rocks. I noticed, like, often you'd see almost a Skyrim or New Vegas effect.
Yeah.
You know, like, the background would just kind of form as you approached it. And that's where I'd see it form, skip, and then I was like, okay,
very much
so. Trying to load that in, that might be why it's dropping. But yeah, it would frequently happen in that section. I'm not sure why compared to the rest of the game, but I don't think that was too foreign of a thing, because what happened, what's weird about this game is you can tell certain parts got more focused than others, and often that's shown in the story, like, okay, they really hammered this scene because they knew this one would matter more than this one. But what happened is that certain acts of the game perform technically better than others.
Right.
Like, the middle part is where I really started chugging and hitting frame drops.
Yeah.
But the beginning wasn't that bad overall.
Right, correct.
It was really strange.
Did you also notice the weird thing that, so at the starting of the game, and I've been seeing a bunch of people talk about this, where it cuts at weird times in cutscenes. Really weird. And my firm belief is that we will find out that they had plans for more choice, because there are some choices you can make when you save somebody. It'll be like, which camp do you want to set? You can tell there was the idea of, like, do we want this guy to be an a-hole, or do we want him to be a good guy, or maybe not a good guy, but less of a bad guy
too.
In the main story, they did it. But what's weird is the first, it was like, I was having a few technical issues, you know, because I do a frame counter. There was some frame drops. There was certainly some popping, but it wasn't as egregious as the middle, which got terrible. But then the story cutscenes stopped, or didn't stop, actually still happened, but had far less of those weird cuts. And it does feel, and there was a couple, I put one in my video that happened three different times because I tested this weird, and I would appear with, I was talking to the, don't want to spoil anything, but you're talking to somebody who you're trying to get to help you. Mm-hmm. And at the end, he gives you a radio. And I kept warping from the lake. So it would cut, and it shows me standing there, and then it would cut back. And I'm in the lake, and I would go like, it would look like a demon in a movie. Like, I'd be like,
oh, yeah. I remember that.
And I got that in my video. And those kind of things happened a lot. I definitely agree with that some, I don't know if it's, yeah, I would agree that acts probably got more polish, or where they occurred maybe was less, maybe where they occurred in the world, because you're drawing the world. There, a lot of them are in a pseudo real time. Maybe there's something going on in the background, a horde spawn that we're not aware of or something like that.
That could be it too. Yeah. Just some shout outs in the chat. Let's see here. Hamad said, I always thought the game looked pretty janky because of the way most PS4 captures look on YouTube, but it turned out to be disappointing from what I hear. By the way, ACG, your PS4 capture was surprisingly clearer looking on YouTube than others. So do you get some special render
Because I capture
settings?
It insanely high bit rate.
Do you have one of those brick capture things that at the preview events? They have these like huge things with screens on them. That's
the one, bro. Oof. And for the longest time, I ended up talking to Digital Foundry, and because I know the guys there, and John, and we were talking, and I was like, "What do you think of it?" And he gave the thumbs up. Nice. I trust him, so I was like, "Yeah." And it's definitely helpful.
Nice. Hamad also actually said he had a great question. He said, "Do you guys think having a studio with about 130 people make a AAA open world after Red Dead Redemption 2 was too ambitious?"
No.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And the reason I say that is just whether you like them or hate them now, I'm talking like back in Skyrim days, like Bethesda Game Studios. I mean, they made some of the best open world games, and they were a AAA studio with like less than 100 people. So I would say that's certainly not the case. It's Your Boy War said, you hit a little rock with your motorbike and you get 15 minus armor on your motorbike. It makes no sense. Yeah, I had that happen to me quite a few times, actually. Especially during bike chases where like you'd have to stop the bike chase, get off, like repair it with some scrap, and then get back on and start chasing the guy again. That could be... It made sense. That's the thing. I said the bike was such a good idea, but often the mechanics would interrupt other things happening in the game. Like, for example, fast travel just became a multi-loading screen type of thing rather than this cool mechanic of using fuel and managing it. It was like, okay, I'm just going to fast travel to this camp, refuel, then fast travel to this one.
It became a weird repetitive cycle of fast travel where it was like, I know that I need to fast travel, then watch the load, then go into the motorbike section, like you said, then gas it up and repair it.
Right.
And then pop out. What I did find a little, I wouldn't say janky as much as maybe a mistake, was that in two of the chases, your motorbike doesn't matter. Which I found really odd. And in one driving scene, your motorbike doesn't matter. Mm. But all the other times it does. So I found that really weird. And I don't know if that was a mistake or a bug, but I was driving and I looked at the gas and I'm like, the gas gauge isn't there. That's odd.
Right.
And hit a tree and nothing happened. And I was like,
yeah, what? There's sometimes that stuff just they remove and it's like, okay, that makes sense. Because you don't want to interrupt.
Remove it from all of them, though.
Yeah.
Right? Wouldn't you think?
Yeah, because there's some bike chases that you can have your vehicle destroyed during, which I think just interrupts the gameplay in a very strange way. It's fine if they make it challenging and they try to push the player beyond their limits, but it can be a little infuriating at times. I actually captured this funny... I don't want to call it a bug, but it shows the lack of balance and sometimes direction and polish of the game world. But there was this one part where I finished the bike chase and Deacon's on his knee talking to this guy. And it's not a cutscene. It's one of the few times in the game where they just have the camera set. It's almost like Vampyr. You're just watching two people talk. And during that time, a horde, I guess, attacked me in the middle of that all, but I didn't see the horde before that. So I think that might add a little bit of credibility to what you said about horde spawning.
And yeah.
Because my frames didn't drop, but all of a sudden I just got swarmed. And my jaw dropped when that shit happened.
Yeah, the hordes were very cool when they did happen. I will say it was different than WWZ. It wasn't what I was – the way they do the hordes was not – it was different, which is fine. Hmm. It was a little less – it was dynamic at times, but it was a little less impactful than I thought it was going to be.
There were hardly any. I saw only a hand few.
Yeah, there weren't as many. I think somebody said there's like 40 total that are not dynamic in the game. Then you can create them dynamically. I certainly created a mini horde by having some follow me and thinking I was going to outrun them. And I couldn't and ended up going into another place where there were a bunch. And then they followed me. And of course, you can tell because they have that bar. But yeah, it was... there was definitely a couple issues I noticed. I think I know the exact cutscene you're talking about where they switched out to the normal gameplay versus that pop that you get for the pre-rendered.
Yeah, which looks fantastic a lot of the time.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and that's the thing, dude. The game at times is fantastic. Like, so, aside from the story bits, which you and I, we both have our thoughts on the story, which align, and then I liked it more than you because it was weird, probably. Mm-hmm. The honest truth is it kept my attention because it was weird, and I was like, what is happening? Like, which I hear all the time now. People are like, I've played for 4 hours. I have no clue what's happening right now, and in some way that triggered my brain.
Right.
I was like, oh. But I will say that graphically there are times, other than his girlfriend, who I think was captured differently, she looks odd compared to everybody else. Graphically, I really did like all the main characters, especially your nemesis in the Lost Lake, fucking with his bandana and his backwards hat or whatever. Yeah. I was just like, who is this jank?
The M&M of Days Gone.
it's exactly true, and I loved that guy. I actually liked their scene and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I thought they were cool.
Yeah, but that kind of leads to, I thought some plot twists were predictable when it came to my thoughts on the story. And also, I thought the third act was just... There are times we've complimented multiple games where it's like you're enjoying the journey, and then you think it's going to end, and it doesn't. And in a good way, it doesn't, because they build on to something where you're like, oh, shit, this is much more grand, or, oh, wow, now it's really open. But what this did was, I thought, resolved every core part of the narrative that had been built from the ground up since the very moment the game started. I don't want to talk about what, but... Everything gets resolved by the beginning of said third act, okay? And so after that, everything else just felt like filler, felt unnecessary, and I didn't enjoy the idea of just adding a bunch of new characters afterwards, which they don't really try to build anything
Explain.
Off of either. Yeah, it just, it to me, it felt very slapped on and like you were mindlessly following just for the sake of it. And like I said, I don't want to get into the third act too much just because I don't want to ruin it for anyone. But that was kind of me, the straw that broke the camel's back, because it was just, ugh, like it was so unnecessary, I thought. Maybe I'm being a little extreme on that part, but for me, and I've said it to you multiple times, I can't stand when a game overstays its welcome. We always talk about it's okay for a game to end, right? And that was a game that it was kind of climaxing, it felt. And it was like, all right, now we're gonna ride this off to the sunset, like a couple more hours, and it's like another 8. And it's like, oh, boy.
Well, I think also this might just be the stress people are feeling at keeping these open world games huge. Mm-hmm. And in particular, I don't think Days Gone has enough mechanics to be that big. And so then it does feel like, okay, there's one more thing. Yeah, and you have to stretch. And that ends up playing off a little oddly in this game. Definitely when you start to realize, like, a lot of the places you go into are the same. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of things to collect, which is fine about the collection, but I firmly believe there was a bigger crafting system than what we play.
Right.
There, something about that game feels like there are many things that were there.
Mm-hmm.
And for sure you can feel that in the choice thing. When you start, you know, start saving people and start getting to send them to different camps, you're like, okay, something, it was here, or there's just some built up stuff. And the bike, the same way. By the end, yeah, you've got the fuel tanks, right? You've mm-hmm. upgraded it. I mean, you can upgrade it pretty much all the way fairly quickly because it's just money and then respect, respect,
mm-hmm.
trust from the different groups. But I did feel that there was, it feels like there was this time at some point in this game's history where it changed course pretty severely.
Did. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like they went for something that probably was going to be more of a post-apocalyptic RPG to a more character-driven story.
Mm-hmm. Which might be why the wrap-up happens the way it does, because mm-hmm. There are hundreds of times people don't realize, they probably thought you were, had some hyperbole there when you said that they sort of carrot on the end of a stick. I don't think people understand how many times that happens where somebody's almost, it's like a TV show where you're like, all the problems would be fixed if somebody,
wait till next week.
Yeah. Or where you're watching the episode and you're like, if somebody just paused for a second and instead of being mm-hmm. all mysterious was like, hey, the problem is this.
Right.
Everybody be like, okay. But instead they're like, we'll tell you later. And you're like, oh my God. There's so many times where later becomes much later
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't sort of spool out the way I wanted. On the other hand, for whatever reason, that enticed me. It worked for me. Like it got me more interested because I was pretty confused at what was going on halfway through that game. Like I was like, what exactly is happening? And then some bugs augmented that for me because I had some bugs where he would notice 3 or 4 things at the same time and say them out loud, which is a big deal in this game.
Yeah.
Hey, there's headhunters or there's or whatever, the rebels or outlaws. And then, you know, hey, there's a horde here.
Infestation zones.
But he'd be like, hey, there's a horde bad guys over there. And my brain would be like, wait, what? Mm-hmm. And you sort of get, you definitely get an idea of what's going on. But I think some bugs or bad scripting on that point actually caused me to be more interested than I should have been.
Right.
Like I got to the end and that's not necessarily something where I'm like, oh, it's terrible for it. It just, I wish it would have played off a little different.
Yeah. I'm going to apologize if I mispronounce this person's name. OJXN. I'm going to go with O Jackson for now. But he says, I was hoping it would be like Mad Max, but it feels like a low effort, generic open world game. I think a lot of people are hoping for like a Mad Max style game with Days Gone. I think that's why a lot more people are upset that maybe it's not like the 9 out of 10 because Mad Max was sort of referred to as a hidden gem, I'd say, at this point in time.
Yeah.
Where Days Gone could have really taken that and made it a more mainstream, awesome, popular thing with the funding of Sony. It's Your Boy War actually mentioned Horizon Zero Dawn, and that reminded me that Sony's got 3 post-apocalyptic IPs under their exclusivity banner. We've got Horizon Zero Dawn, we've got The Last of Us, and now we have Days Gone. And what's interesting is I didn't mention this in my review because I felt it was too comparatively speaking, where it was not analyzing the game on its own, but it was something
the other stuff on the side.
Yeah, exactly. And I noted to myself, you know, there's some choices in this game where I'm like, why do this if game X exists? It felt like at times, we'll say the melee combat, for example. I referred to it as not very punchy. I felt it felt weak, both sound-wise and obviously the damage you did. Now, you can double your damage through the melee skill tree at tier 5, which you'll probably reach towards the 75% mark
75,
of
yeah.
the game, where then it feels a little bit better. But it you know, the game feels real in so many ways, like one-shot headshots no matter who you're attacking. And then all of a sudden, there you know these freakers take 40 stabs to kill.
They do, and
it's like you think of The Last of Us, where Joel will fucking punch someone 3 times, and you'll bang their head against the wall, and that's it. And it felt good because the sound was great, so it was exactly what you dreamed of, like you just fucking knocking someone the hell out. But also, at the same time, the game reacted properly to it. It wasn't this drawn out mashing R2. 8 slashes with your weapon. Now, you can upgrade crafted weapons and do more damage with those. And that made a little more sense, but that was just like a short example. I thought that why create another post-apocalyptic universe when I think Horizon Zero Dawn is the most recent one to come out with something truly unique. That's one I've really appreciated more and more over time as we've seen more cracks at post-apocalyptic stuff because... I mean, there's nothing like Horizon Zero Dawn, universally speaking. There really isn't. And yes, the weapons you use are completely different, but when it comes to what universe they built there at Guerrilla Games, I mean, that is a spectacular one. It has aged like fine wine over these last 2 years, where once again, I'm like, why build this generic zombie open world game with freakers if you have something like Horizon Zero Dawn, which is just ripe for the storytelling?
Yeah, and I mean... I talked about this in the review where it's like they say it's not zombies, it's freakers, but in the end, they're all wanting to chew on you, right? Like, that's pretty much... I will say I really did like that the Horde and the freakers reacted to me when I was fighting them, like dodging and stuff. I thought that was good. Human AI, not very good at all. That's the honest truth. It's just not very good. They are spongy. And what's weird, all the enemies are. What is weird is when you do upgrade... So I went survivalist for all upgrades first. Then I went to up close, and then whatever I had left or what I liked, I picked out a ranged. Gotcha. I will say that the way the skills are built, I was a little confused because they didn't really get more powerful as you went from tier 1 to tier 5. You were just like, why is – which is – yeah, it was just a little odd. There were some of the choices that were made. But it is weird that, like, your knife, which is your basic weapon, can't break. I think that's great. It takes, like – Dude, I'm serious. I think it took like 12 fucking shots on a human to take him down before you get the kill shot. Right. And it did feel odd. And then when you do purchase the upgrade, it's, you know, 6 or 8, 3, maybe it's 5 actually. I was counting when I first started the game. But it never really feels like it's all balanced very well. And that doesn't stop me from liking it. It's just noticeable. It's noticeable.
I feel like the game fed you enough skill points where it should have made you more powerful over time because what I noted in my review was less of, oh, it's not a good skill tree, but more so there was nothing I acquired that I was like, oh, yes, I'm stoked to have this.
Right, they're good. They're boring but impactful skills, but there is no skill that except for, what did you think about the, I thought that the carrying the extra Molotovs was powerful. Now, I don't know if you got that one because you don't get enough to buy all of them, but I use a lot of Molotovs. And so to go from 3 to 6 or whatever, that was probably the, and it's not even a high level. Well, it's not all the way. It's like level 3 or 4, which was odd. Maybe it's even lower than that now that I think about it.
See, the only one that I was like, all right, cool, was when they were like, you do bonus damage with weapons you craft. That was the only one I was, all right, this one is helpful. And I noticed a damage difference. I would take enemies out and I'd say 3 to 4 hits if I had like a baseball bat with nails on it.
With the nails in it, yeah.
But that was my go-to. And I thought would have been great is if, and you know what, Fallout 76 did this, but they did it in the wrong way. Because Days Gone really could have been fueled off its crafting, where if they gave you new recipes after certain quests or after leveling up X amount of times and gave you new toys to mess around with, That would have been great. But I think then it would have stripped away one of what I thought was the game's strength, which was that trust system you mentioned earlier, where like each community has its own trust level with you, and each community has different stores. So you can't get like Gun X at like Lost Lake and then go to Copeland's camp and get that same gun. You have to get your trust up with Lost Lake by doing quests with them, which gave the world like an established feel, and you couldn't ruin your trust with anyone, but still it was awesome to see nonetheless. And so that's one part I'm a little iffy on. Like it's you're losing either way, I feel.
Yeah, it was definitely, I mean, it worked out for me in the long run, but it getting there at times, getting to some of those skills was just a little bit odd. And some of them were, I liked a lot of them, but I was sort of surprised by the, I call it nonsense, but the Mafia 3. And that is this game, I mean, not to be rude to a lot of people, but I do find more similarities between Mafia 3 and this than I do Mad Max.
Right.
Mafia 3 had a lot of the same likes and dislikes for me versus Mad Max, which I felt was a little bit smoother. I think Mafia was a little less smooth, and that's sort of what this feels like. But it was weird to have the NOM vision, and then like you can level up and see enemies behind rocks. And if you don't buy that skill, you will probably be much happier than if you do, because if you do buy it, the AI, you can see the AI messing up. If you don't buy it, you can just see the triangles. Yeah. And it sounds weird, but it's like I would suggest to people that you can still see where the enemy is with a triangle. You just can't see like what their actions, but you can still like see dangers and stuff. It would be best to stay away from that, I think. Nonsense is what I call it. Not nonsense, but that's true too.
It's nonsense.
It's true too. I just read that, yeah.
Yeah, to cap it off, Mnemonic Fall says, I don't like the mix of linear story and open world. I feel like it's a contradiction of interest for the player, especially if the story wants focus and needs the player to pay attention. If Days Gone's story is good, I'd rather have the segmented pieces of the map for each chapter/act than a giant area that tears you away from its storytelling. Yeah, like we kind of highlighted throughout the show, I think the game was pulling from a lot of angles here. And it
was going to be something else, dude.
Yeah, it made up its mind too late on what they wanted to do.
Yeah, it was going to be something. I mean, it does feel like it was going to be something else.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Yeah, well, that's Days Gone. Next, we've got Square Enix. Afterwards, we'll talk about Mortal Kombat, because I did see initially a lot of people ask about that. So don't worry, we are going to get to Mortal Kombat, but we wanted to break that up with talking about some news. So Square Enix announced that they're filling in where PlayStation is, or was rather. They're going to be doing a press conference this time around, and a lot of people are like, hold up, this could be a good one, because they have Final Fantasy VII Remake, maybe some Kingdom Hearts 3 DLC, the Avengers project, most notably. I feel like there's one more project from them that I'm not thinking of. Maybe new Octopath Traveler stuff. I think I saw Spawnwave Media mention that could have been a possibility. But anyway, are you excited at the idea that Square Enix is returning to E3 and might have some more announcements up their sleeves? Because
I thought
their last conference was like... Ugh.
Exactly. What if it's just a fucking video of 45 minutes of like their trailers repeated? Here's the thing. I said this before when Sony said they weren't going. Somebody's going to take advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously you've got two choices. You have two chances. Microsoft, of course, and then now a third company to take that spot, which I'm going to be honest, I had forgot. I had forgot that the spot was open. I just assumed it was, I don't know how, but not going to be open. Yeah. And so to me, anybody, Square could do it. Any of these big companies could do it. Even a small company, Devolver Digital, would be hilarious. It'll never happen.
God.
But
that would blow the roof off of E3.
It would blow the roof off, dude. People be like, you know, people like me and you, where we know what they're like, and a lot of people who watch know what they like, would know what was going on. But if somebody on the outside was watching, like, you know, a Devolver Digital stream, they'd be like, what in the fuck is happening right now? So, yeah, it's exciting. I just don't know what they have to show. That's the thing is, like, I haven't heard a lot about what they're really building that could eat up, let's say, 45 minutes to an hour, or like it, right?
We'll do our typical mid-show.
Randy doing a magic spot for G2 is what Bearded says. That's awesome. It's War says, while you're looking up, I'll just read these. Last year, Square Enix's E3 show was just awful. It wasn't a show, bro. It was a video, man. It was, yeah, agreed.
Oh, do you think we'll see, I just saw the name, do you think we'll see Nier Automata?
A Nier Automata 2?
Yeah. It's been about two and a half years by that point.
What if it wasn't only a trailer, like, you know, like what we expect, but it was like a little bit of like on, you know, here's the choices we made, here's the changes. I would die. But I think, if I remember right, everybody who works on that team does not speak English, correct? Or am I wrong on that? Because I thought all the interviews I saw, they were all translated.
Probably. Except Yokotaro sometimes writes some funny shit in English.
So writes some funny shit in English. I would have difficulty with a major E3 event doing that. Mm. I think a lot of people would, trying to track that. I would like it. I'll be all for it. But I don't know if it would work out for them.
I feel like
I would love it.
Oh, wow. No, forget what I said about Nier Automata, because I haven't even seen it, but I just remembered Babylon's Fall. They're definitely going to show that. They got a teaser for that last year. I'd say we're probably going to gameplay for that. The Avengers game, Final Fantasy VII Remake. Those are kind of like the... Tomb Raider. Mm-hmm. That's, I mean, more DLC for that. I don't know, man.
I don't think they can turn around anything important on Tomb Raider.
Nah, that's
you
what
can't
I think
do a two,
it's
right?
Just like a thing.
Yeah, it's just a thing now. You can't really do a two, and Shadows DLC just came out, which I don't remember if it rated well. I thought it did. But yeah, so it's difficult for them to do that.
Well, Square Enix said 2 months ago they were releasing a major game in 2019.
Avengers.
It's got to be.
What if they do a huge breakdown on that game?
I'd be about that.
I would be all about that. You know,
I would definitely.
All about that.
Yeah, I think what we're going to expect, I think, is more of a short and sweet type of show, if anything. You know, I don't think they have enough to stretch it out for like an hour and a half per se. And that's seeming what like this E3 is going to be, because, you know, you have Bethesda, who, when you break down what their company is like at this moment in time and all their recent announcements and upcoming reveals, they don't really have much to show. Square doesn't really have much to show, but they're taking advantage of the open slot. But at least Square seems to be bringing some new big announcements. I imagine we'll see Final Fantasy VII Remake gameplay, like full on, you know, maybe like 5 minutes worth. Definitely Avengers. I mean, what do you think Avengers is going to be like? Like, in my head, a dream would be a stylish turn-taking RPG.
I just don't know on that game. I mean, I had always thought somebody was going to recreate the Batman, like, style. You know, but with those guys, but I'm not 100% sure. Like, that's exactly what we're going to end up getting out of it. It's their biggest, dude. It's like, it's a perfect time, coming off of the movie,
right?
It's a perfect time to be like, okay, here's a large amount of stuff. But I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know what it costs to do a show. I don't know how much Square, if they have to pay to be replace Sony. But it would seem like if you're gonna do the main thing, you would take full fucking advantage. And if I was a company, it doesn't matter how small, that would include not only trailers, but it would include like full on hands on. Here is a game, even if it's not the biggest game, be like, let's have a dev team break down, you know, some stuff. Maybe don't slow it down and have them talking the entire time, like an Anthem one. You know, God, I don't want that again. But you know, have a lot of footage to show would be very nice.
Yeah, and you could end up running into the issue that Gearbox clearly ran into, which is trying to fill up an hour slot when they did not
with
have
35 to 45 minutes of content.
Exactly. So we will see. Square Enix's presser is happening June 10th, I believe. So not too far away. We're getting there. It's about to be E3 season. Anyway,
it's so weird. It's so weird, dude.
I know,
it's
right?
Just so, yeah, it's just like every time we talk, there's a new E3. It's just, it's sort of surreal. You do an E3? What? Like, yeah. I thought we just talked about this. It's like, no, that was last year's E3, which we did this. And then the year before that, it was this. It's insane how many events there are.
Mm-hmm. I feel you. So we're back to talking about games we've played and reviewed this week. This time around, it's Mortal Kombat 11. I guess we'll tackle, for starters, the main topic that's really evolved out of this game, which is microtransactions. So, did you ever end up uploading a review for this game yet? You did not. Okay, I was going to say, I didn't see it go up day and date, and I didn't see it pop into my sub box. So, was it because of the microtransactions? Was it more so that you just haven't had time to finish it? Because I know Days Gone was a pretty meaty game.
No, luckily, with Days Gone, we got it, I would consider, really early for the length. Yeah. Yeah. And Mortal Kombat was a little closer, but no, dude, I knew that is the grindiest fucking game I've seen in a millennium, man. Like, that game is so mobile-based, it blows my mind. And so I chose, of all those games, I was doing Dragon's Dogma, too. And I was like, you know what? I don't do a lot of Switch titles, so I'll review the Switch title, which a lot of people want, you know, review. And Dragon's Dogma, you know me. Like, if any fucking excuse. Dude, if somebody told me, like, there was a Dragon's Dogma shirt, I'd probably use it as an excuse to play the game again. Somehow. I'd be like, well, then I should probably play the game because that'll remind me if I should like the shirt. It's just, it's weird. But no, it is the grindiest. And I started playing it, and it dawned on me. I was like, they are going to pull all this shit. They're going to do tweets, all this stuff. So this is the first game ever where I got the full review, completely reviewed and ready and recorded and uploaded, and then put the stop on it and just started taking notes on what people said, mm-hmm. what timing people said it, what the original grind rates were, what the original, like how everything was, like their PR, how their PR worked. And it was not to destroy them. It was to track and just verify that what I was thinking was right. And I'm rarely right, but this time I was, and it was really sad. It was really sad. That is a good fighting game, motherfuckers.
Really good fighting
game. And we are talking about the goddamn multi. It is a game that could have been ushered in like a new style for Injustice, even though it might not work as well with superheroes, but you're looking at this game that I love the changes. I'm a big block fan. I don't know about you, button block. I know a lot of people don't like button block.
I like to step back to block.
I hate you. But anyway, no. But I was happy for that. I was happy that it was closer. I liked, as in graphically, it was zoomed in more than Injustice. Mm. The characters were bigger. I liked the change to the combos. So to me, I was really happy for all those changes. And I'm really upset that we're sitting here now where this game's mired in this bullshit. And you're stuck once again, Maddie, with there is no way out of this. Either they are completely incompetent or they lied. There mm-hmm. is not a way around it. You can't say, oh, we heard there were some complaints, so we're changing stuff. No, that would have been in your original complaints. We know what RNG is. You can't tell me, because if you try to tell me you don't know those complaints were going to come up, then you're trying to tell me that you're incompetent. And I do not like believing that, because they created this awesome game. Fighting game, at least.
Clearly shows they're not. Yeah, I feel you. For me, I really enjoyed it. I get why some people thought it was grindy. I don't know. I was playing with my friend last night. We played for about 5 hours straight. And each fight net us 500 gold. When I finished up, I collected my daily rewards. And after that period of time, I had about 60,000 coins, which then I went into the crypt and ended up actually getting more based off completing some challenges in there, like unlocking new areas, nets you coins. And I unlocked a bunch of stuff, and it was like its own adventure mode. I like the game a lot, man. Like, this is one I don't really waver my opinion on. Usually I'm like, all right, like, I see what people mean. And I don't get me wrong, by the way, I'm not like being devil's advocate, like, fuck what people are saying, but I'm more so, if NetherRealm wants to increase how much they're giving us, I'm all for it, and I want them to, because clearly I'm in a smaller percentage of the folks who are okay with it. And maybe it's because what I was looking most for was a good NetherRealm fighter, because I've shared on the show time and time out how I can't stand NetherRealm fighters as of late, because they're so spammy, they're very low skill tier. I mean, like, there are people clearly who can be better than others, but projectile spamming was a huge issue. I thought there wasn't enough mechanics. I thought that the tutorials were severely lacking. Character lessons were something that needed to be added. Like, and they checked all that off. So as a fighter, that's why I'm so fucking big on the game, and why I don't mind playing a ton of it, because I'm going to be playing a ton of it anyway. But also my train of thought was Injustice 2 had you grinding quite a bit. Now, maybe it wasn't as bad from what I played, and you played a ton of Injustice 2, so clearly that's, I'd say, the case.
Yeah, it's way worse than Injustice.
Yeah, it's way worse. Exactly. So, I know that NetherRealm, I read an article, I have it up right now, from Game Informer. They said, after hearing complaints about the progression system in Mortal Kombat 11, especially how difficult it is to complete the time-limited Towers of Time, NetherRealm promised the other day to make behind-the-scenes adjustments to fix the issue. Today, in a release day combat cast, they detailed exactly what that means. To begin with, enemy health, which can often be 10 times more than what your character has, will be lowered to be a lot more achievable. Modifiers that shoot in from the background, like missiles, will be blockable and fire off less often. I'll get into that in a second.
That's a positive, at least.
Yeah, I'll get into that in a second, because I have specific thoughts on that one segment there. They are still looking into the frequency and value of rewards and will make various adjustments to that over time. Overall, the difficulty is lower for this mode, but they still want it to feel hard, just not as if the game's cheating you out of a victory, which is great. Now, there's still a little bit more, but I do want to say that that one part of the game probably was what felt like to me less of the game trying to jip you and more like a lack of testing. Because overall, it's a fair fighter, right? Like, at its core, it is, I believe, a fair fighter. I don't think anyone's busted. I think the consumables work well. It turns the game into, like, a tag-based fighting system. You can combo with them. You can stop your opponents. You can use them while you're downed. I think the system inherently is fair. I just think that it's those modifiers that fuck things up, like the missiles. So if they adjust that and also change the character health, I think that'll make things a lot better. NetherRealm does stay firm on the idea that they did not ever want to sell anything that can affect gameplay, and they are not selling anything to unlock chests in the crypt. In addition, all players will be getting a stimulus package containing 500,000 coins, which, by the way, folks, I beat the store and I had like 250,000, so that's a lot. 1,000 souls and 1,000 time crystals, the latter of which can be used to buy premium outfits. So one of the things is that Mortal Kombat 11, what people don't get, and this is not a point of defense, but it's more so clarity, Mortal Kombat 11 is grindy, but you can't buy your way out of the grind for the most part. The store has limited, it has 5 items listed. You can spend the time crystals you get either through leveling up or earning through your own money. Anyway, you can spend those to get one of those 5 listed items. If you don't want any of those 5 listed items, every 8 hours, I think, they refresh into something new. But the thing is that the game also tells you where you can acquire them. Some say in the crypt, some say completing their time tower, what have you. But at the end of the day, you can't buy your way even out of this grind. It's just a grind. That's it at the end of the day. So for me, I think what needs to be worked is the progression, because that's what the issue is. I don't think the microtransactions, from what I've played, what I've researched, is what's breaking the game or they're trying to drive you there. Now, I do know some microtransactions do have, I think it's easy fatalities, which is the dumbest fucking thing ever.
They're the easiest fatalities anyway, Maddie.
Yeah, they
are. What the fuck? Down, back for, like, a main character for the... Like, no.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
stupid.
And then I think one that I understand people have issues with is skip fight. That's one I'm like, okay, that's a little bit of paying out of it. Okay, I get to a boss fight, let me pay $5, get a skip fight token, and use it there. You can earn them in-game, but they're in the crypt. I think what they need to do, in my opinion, my solution to fixing this whole thing is, A, when you go in the crypt and you're looking at a chest, and it says, like, hold X to spend 13,000 coins to open up the chest, it tells you right then and there what's in that chest. Because here's the thing, is that Mortal Kombat 11 is popular enough where the game always gives you coordinates on the bottom left corner, where people can just say, okay, if you want these katana skins, go to these coordinates.
Yeah.
And you can find them that way. My other thing, which they seem to be addressing, is yes, I think a stimulus package is good, but that doesn't permanently fix things. But they also are adjusting the difficulty. Now, that'll take testing. But I think there's a little bit of, and Maik the Liar actually just said it, the grind is the issue, not the microtransactions. I don't think that the information that it costs $6,000 to get everything in the game...
That was wrong anyway.
Completely incorrect. It's just grindy. And why this is important to clarify is not out of defense of the game. If you don't like Mortal Kombat, if you don't like what Warner Brothers is doing, more power to you. But it's more so we need to be mad about the right thing here. And I'm not telling people what they should and shouldn't be angry about, but more so... The proper information has to be out there and accounted for. And in turn, NetherRealm has to respond, which they seem to be doing. So that's just my take on it. I want to hear more from you. But what do you think they could do to improve this? Where do you think the core of the issue lies?
I think the core is that, as somebody who's followed the Injustice, I think they're liars. I think they're completely lying about the microtransactions. I think that they will switch out those skins. And they can say not all the skins will be available. Okay, so what do you do? Have all of them but one not available?
Mm-hmm.
So one of the problems is that when you look at the microtransactions, what I'm always nervous about is, like, you know, what happens a week later? What happens 2 weeks later? and you and I now have been around and seen these, that at some point you start looking and going, this is going to get much worse. Like, it's like they'll just wait till people move on, and they'll, you know, they'll fucking hammer that up at some point. And that's another thing I worry about.
Right.
I would say when it comes to the grind, there's two different things. And one thing that you rarely hear talked about, and I think people should talk about it more, is there's a difference between grind and drag. And we rarely hear about drag because it's rarely been a thing. Only game developers who handle mobile games usually talk about it. But basically, I have grind, which is an obstacle you can usually see. 10,000 coins. I know how to get 10,000 coins, right? That's a pretty typical grind. Drag is usually something you can't necessarily identify, and that's RNG. RNG by itself is fine,
right.
But RNG on top of RNG is not. And that's what you get in Mortal Kombat 11, is you do have situations where you need something that is an RNG drop somewhere else, or at least to make it easier through something, or at least to, let's say, get to a point to where you look at a fight in a tower and go, okay, this is now doable. And that's what I think a lot of people aren't using the proper nomenclature for, is that the grind is when... When you look at something and I can identify it and look at a mountain and go, I'm going to grind up this mountain. That's not acceptable, but it's something I can identify. But when there's RNG on top of RNG, that becomes quite difficult. And when you start getting things where it's like you need a random consumable, you really do for some of the fights. Well, for many of the fights where you need a particular random consumable. And then you're trying to find where that consumable is.
I don't mean to cut you off. You mean need like a specific, let's say it's like...
Fight Cyrex electricity, net. Stop electricity, or,
okay.
Or no, I mean some of the ones that are like stop a certain type of damage or whatever, okay. You know. So let's say you get to a fight where there's a lot of blood damage, which is one of the first towers you can get. If you don't have a consumable that stops blood damage, right? Or let's say a consumable that's really working, then you have to go find where that is, or RNG it in another tower that says, here's a random consumable. We're going to give out two random consumables at the end. And it's... You can track some of this, but what I think is it's needlessly and on purpose confusing. I really do believe it's 100% on purpose.
Okay.
And what happens is there's a psychology there, and it's a very easy to track psychology where a lot of people will just say, I don't want to look and try to figure it out. I'm just going to buy this. I'm just going to do this. Now, right now, you can't buy out of them, most of them. Well, all of them. You can buy skins, and I think you can get one other type of crystal, right? I think there's one of the five currencies you can get.
Yeah, there's coins, soul fragments, hearts, which are earned through fatalities, and time crystals.
There you go.
Which are those are the microtransactions.
Yeah, and so that bothers me. But also what bothers me is a reverse psychology, and I want to get your opinion on this because I believe it's ingenious in the most insidious way, they announced... Hey, look at us. Hey, how awesome are we? When you go online, you'll be able to have your customizable character because it's not going to make a difference with your stats, right? That was a big deal. However, I personally believe that of all the people out there that are going to want to look special, it will be the people going online or competitive people that now get to represent a different look for any of their characters and put together customizable looks for any of their characters.
Right.
So then what they do is sell those. Guess who has a lot of money? People who go to tournaments. Guess who has a lot of money? The people who want to customize a character so they look like their Twitch streamer. That, to me, scares me a little bit in that what they've done is pretended like, oh, it's all for you. But on the back end, they're actually targeting the very people who won't bitch as much. The very people who are like, so let's say I go to a tournament. Let's say I have a particular character and I want him to look a particular way and I know he's not going to affect it, right? It's not going to be affected. I can make him look whatever way I want. And that's for sale. If you wanted to, you could look at that as a reverse psychology of like, hey, look at us. And now this stuff's for sale. You can go get it if you want. That bothers me. And there's no easy way around it, by the way. This is the problem. What you and I are describing... There's no actual easy way around it, and here's why. Because they exist in the first place.
Right.
That's the big problem. We're talking about this, and we shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. We should be talking about how fucking fun the game is. But we're now stuck in this bullshit again.
Right.
And that's what bothers me, is we're stuck in bullshit where I'm going to have to track this game for a fucking year, which already infuriates me, because I already know you and I have both seen multiple games continually fuck around, especially once people have moved on. Because they're hoping that you won't do videos on them, or they're hoping that you won't cover them. They're hoping that people won't bitch. And it just, It would be much cooler, I think, as if we weren't talking about this. Easy fatalities, that, I'm sorry, there is absolutely no reason you're selling easy fatalities.
Yeah.
There's no reason there even should be in the game.
Yeah.
I think the microtransaction post was wrong, but Ed Boon's defense was sort of stupid, which is like, this is wrong because all the skins won't be for sale. Well, first of all, you didn't say which ones. And second, that may be correct, but the time is still there. That mm-hmm. huge grind is still there. And at some point, anything you sell in a game, especially a game with this many currencies, usually can be turned into a reversal of a grind. Usually. There's going to be something that you can figure out. I don't know, man. It's really depressing. It's really depressing, Maddie, because the game and the gameplay is really, really fun. And I just think it's a huge disservice that we have to talk about it. And it's a huge disservice that the crypt is random. Stupid things like that. There's so many dumb little things that they did that it's not good game design or it's on purpose. And that's the only way we're stuck. There's no way out of the discussion besides incompetence or on purpose. Mm. And that bothers me. It bothers me because I don't want to think they're incompetent.
And that brings us back to point A, which is like, hey, the game, the gameplay itself, rather, proves a lack of competence, right? Did I say that right?
The gameplay itself proves they competence.
Are not, yeah, competence, sorry.
Exactly. Competence. That's exactly.
Lack
but
of
the other
incompetence.
Stuff. Yeah, right.
Yeah, so yeah. I get both sides. It's one of those situations. I get both sides, and it's one of the few times where I can't stand microtransactions. And yeah, I'm one of those people who's like, if it's a $60 game, and especially if you're charging money for DLC characters afterwards, then yeah, man, like don't put them in there because it's just messy. Especially when you play the crypt mode, it does manage to make sense of why there are multiple currencies. Like, coins have always been a thing in Mortal Kombat, but like, why
there have been multiple currencies and other multiple, yeah, for sure.
And so I'm happy they did that in not a gimmicky, shitty sort of way. But like I said, I think the issue is the grind. And I think if people were able to acquire a ton more coins and just open up chests to their heart's desire, this would be a non-issue in many ways. But it's more so that, let's see, if I'm averaging 500 coins a fight when you win, let's say I win all these fights. So every two fights, you're getting 1,000, and you need to do, you need to get to 13,000 coins to unlock one of, I mean, some chests go up to 14,000, but that would mean that for every 1,002 fights, you'd have to do 28
exactly.
fights.
That's nothing compared to the time crypts. I don't know if you've done them, but there's time crypts that when they start counting, by the way, another stupid fucking thing, that the random entry for a crypt, the random reason to get into the crypt is like 100 fatal blows. Do you realize the grind on that? That is 100 fights minimum, and that is you basically losing on purpose so that you get to the fatal blow 30%. That is a grind that is unbelievable. It is not only fighting, it is fighting in a particular way and losing on purpose. Like, there's so many things there. And that RNG on top of RNG just, it ends up muddying this conversation.
Right.
And I agree with you, the MTX, or not the MTX, but the multiple currencies. Dude, remember whichever one this was, you and I played all of them, but there's one that has like red, green, blue, yellow. It had all the primary colors. But at that time, we weren't connected online, right?
Right.
And in certain chests, you would know, though, what was in the chest. And all this not knowing, that's the big problem. Random, random, random. This is random. The fact that you can fucking... There's a goddamn slot machine in the crypt, Maddie. Like, it's in the crypt. It's a statue that you throw money in, and it gives you a random item out of it. If that's not a fucking... And they lied. They said there was no loot boxes. There absolutely is loot boxes in that game. There, in fact... 80% of the game is based on loot boxes. The only reason why we don't call them loot boxes is because they don't look like a fucking box. But they're getting around a bunch of shit because people are letting them because they're fucking around with the nomenclature. And that bothers me. And it bothers me because I'm just worried about the future. I have no problem with people liking the game at all. But I just feel that there were a lot of on-purpose stuff that can't be explained away quite easily.
Yeah.
I could be the only one who believes that. I don't know.
No, I think a lot of people share your path of thought. I think there are a lot of people who share my path of thought because every time I've talked about it on stream, like when I was doing my Fallout 4 Road to Platinum, and people were asking about Mortal Kombat, and I was talking to them how I just didn't think the grind was as bad as folks had made it out to be, and a lot of people did agree that it didn't seem to be the case, but that rather less the grind, but the microtransactions. Sorry, I misspoke.
Right,
but that the grind was what needed work, and I think if they're addressing that, I don't know. I guess there could be, admittedly, I don't want to say bias, but I did not enjoy Injustice 2 as much. I did not like MK10 at all. I do very much like MK11, so maybe I'm more willing to be patient than other people because I'm now finally enjoying a NetherRealm.
Dude, it's a better game.
Yeah.
Dude, I like Injustice 2 more just because of superheroes, but it's a better game, Maddie. Than the other. Yeah, no, you're right. You're in the right there. It is a better game, but that's the problem. It's a better game, and here we are talking about this. Mm. Like, it kills me. Also, if I remember right, the season pass characters, the only reason we even fucking know what they are is because somebody data mined the Switch. And you can fuck off with this. Dude, you can fuck off with all these purchases of mystery shit. I'm done with that. I'm done with it.
Yeah.
We're coming to a point to where, you know what you should do, Maddie? You should be like, we're releasing 6 characters, here's 5 of them, and you have 1 mystery. I'm fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
But if we have to data mine something to find out what we may get for the money we are asked to pay right now, that is, at some point, man, mm-hmm. at some point, when is somebody going to just be like, okay, dude. And again, I don't know if we'd be talking about this if it was a shitty game.
Right.
I honestly do believe it's the fact that it has such a cool core mechanic. And I know you didn't like Injustice 2, and you really like this. Yeah.
Like I like the idea of towers, online battles, doing whatever I want, and then heading to the crypt to cap it all off in this kind of adventure-like experience. I think it's great. It's just they got to give you a little bit more, I'd say. But as someone who's enjoying a NetherRealm fighter for the first time, and I guess when was MK10? Like it's been like what?
Well, no, because you didn't. Years? I don't think you loved MK10, right?
I did not.
So it's prior.
That. Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's because. Injustice 1, and then prior to that would have been the DC versus Mortal Kombat or whatever game, that one.
I think it went MK9, Injustice 1, MK10, Injustice 2, MK11. I think they've just been alternating, actually, yeah. But before that, I think 07 or 08, yeah, they had DCU versus
Is that what
MK.
It was?
I'd love to see a modern take on that, not going to lie. I think that would be awesome.
I think the characters are fairly interchangeable. We've seen that because every one of them seems to have overlapped with another.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, Scorpion and Sub-Zero, I think, were both in Injustice 2, right? Yeah,
Scorpion. Yeah, they got added as DLC.
As DLC. The core character, anyway.
That's the thing, I think...
I'm trying not to get mad, but I'm pretty upset about this one particular...
I understand. I think, if anything, fighting games is the one genre, and I actually said this prior to Mortal Kombat 11... Which is that fighting games need to catch up to the times when it comes to monetization schemes and DLC.
Yeah.
Nowadays, free DLC is the move. I'm sorry, but charging like $5 a new character. We just saw...
$5 a skin?
Yeah, out of all games, we saw Power Rangers. Okay, Power Rangers Battle for the Grid, which is actually a solid game, from what I've seen at least. Add 3 new characters in its first update for free. No one's talking about it. But like, that's doing it right, in my opinion. I that's the only thing that bothers me is I'm waiting for the day fighting games are like, okay, we're done selling you a ton of fucking fighters. Like, if Mortal Kombat wants to adjust the progression, keep the microtransactions, use the microtransactions to fuel future characters and give them for free, yeah, let's do it. Fine.
Yeah.
But all I see is a company collecting lots of money from multiple avenues and just holding on to it.
And yeah, I mean, it's in a weird way. In a weird way, prior to the data mining, Maddie, you could say that the season pass DLC characters were RNG as well. Mm-hmm. So it's like RNG on top of RNG on top, and that's why I said it is in a weird way drag versus grind, where there's some imperceptible stuff that goes on in Mortal Kombat that doesn't go on in a lot of other games, and the grind, you're right, it's absolutely got issues, but I just think, like you said. Also, how did Dragon Ball FighterZ do with this? Like, how much did they sell their DLC characters for?
$4 each.
$4 each.
And I'm a Dragon Ball fanboy. I'm going to admit that first and foremost up front for everyone listening that, yeah, I paid for them. I will let everyone know right now. Anyway, sorry, and, go on.
No, that's all right. I was just saying that's an entire character. And then you've got Smash Brothers, which you and I talked about at the end of the podcast last week, or maybe even offside of the podcast. We were talking about how much you got for one. You got a tracks, music tracks, a stage, blah, 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 blah. I don't mind that. I do mind the skins at $4 or $5, though. Mm-hmm. That's insane. A skin should be 99 cents, bro. Fucking $5 for a skin? Like, that is insane cost. At least it feels like insane cost to me. It feels like that is just really, really high.
So, for the DLC characters, what we've got from a Reddit post is Shang Tsung, Joker, ooh, like DC's Joker, which mm-hmm. that'll be really cool to see a fatality, I'm going to be honest. Nightwolf, Terminator.
Right.
Another cool one.
That could
one.
Be cool.
Sindel, Spawn, also cool. Ash from Army of Darkness. Fujin?
Mm.
And Shiva, along with it says environment name, story name, and GOTY, Game of the Year. So they already have a Game of the Year edition planned. But they are adding new stages, presumably, and new story, maybe. Maybe that's just like a tower for each of these guys. I don't know.
I liked the character towers, by the way, a lot.
Awesome. The character endings on them and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Once again.
I think.
Awesome.
Once again. Yeah, that's, man, if there's been a game that I feel mini-maxed on where I, like, one part's awesome, one part's not, it's got to be this one above everything else. It's just, that was really cool. First one I got was, what's his name with the gun? Troy Baker is Troy Baker as a cowboy.
Aaron Black.
Thank you, Jesus. Yep. Even his name is generic. But anyway, that guy, I got his, and I was like, oh, these are pretty cool. Then Jax. And I was like, which was a little weird, but like doing all these side characters, I actually thought were good. And I gotta say, their copy of Injustice and having you play the single player campaign and allow you to choose different characters to play, that kind of stuff continues to be awesome because it causes me, if I have time, to go back and play the single player campaign, even though I know a huge amount's not gonna switch, but to be able to slightly change the story by playing Sonya Blade instead of this character, or Canary instead of the Arrow. Injustice. I really liked the single player. It was short.
Yeah, it was like 5 hours.
Also, there was something really weird going on with the last cutscene. Did you notice that? How it did. So the last cutscene looks like it's a Genesis game, dude. When they're on the Blood Sea, look at the rendering. Look at the rendering for everything else in all the cutscenes, and then look closely at all the bad guys doing the battle at the very end when they're on the boats, and tell me that isn't a generation old. There
I'm
is.
Have to check
I
it
don't.
Out. I'm gonna have to check
it's,
it out.
It's almost like their render. They couldn't get like a computer strong enough to render all the characters, which is it's possible. Maybe they didn't have time or what have you. Mm-hmm. But I brought it up in the Discord, and multiple people were like, "I'm not the fucking only one who noticed that. Like, it looks really dark and lacking in like dynamic colors. Like, it looks really odd. It could have been maybe their choice of the color of this place, and they just didn't get the color right." But yeah, when you get a chance, if you have the footage of it, go back and look at the end of the story and look at the like just the render itself, almost what we were talking about with with Days Gone. And there's this weird difference in the it's very odd. It's not game breaking by any means. I wouldn't even have brought it up in the review, I don't think. Well, I would have in the review. I did actually. Not as a negative.
So I saw Mike Fury say, it's getting to the point where we have to wait for a complete edition. I always say this to consumers. Like, if I were a YouTuber, or a reviewer, rather, and I would wait so long for so many games nowadays. The best way to purchase is, especially in the terms of fighters, like I said, who need to catch up, is wait for a complete edition, Game of the Year edition, whatever, a discounted edition. Because that's when you'll get the final product and the most bang for your buck. Not that Injustice, or, oh my God, I keep calling it Injustice. Mortal Kombat 11 is an incomplete product by any means. I think it's a very feature-complete game. That's one
24
of its
characters, I think, if you didn't pre-order.
Yeah. And tons of modes, tons of content, you know, popcorn-styled story, you know, high action, all that good stuff. It's a great game. That's the thing. It's just progression. Progression needs a little bit of work, but I found it...
Oh, I have a question for you.
Well, let's go for it.
Did you get a single stage transition ever?
I didn't even know you could in this game.
I don't think you can.
I don't think
I didn't
I think
get
that's
any.
Just an injustice because you use the back X and you'd like
Well, yeah, but in the DC versus, I just remember the DC versus Mortal Kombat, you could, like, you could knock somebody down an elevator and stuff. So I was sort of, I don't know why, because I don't remember much of X, to be honest. And I liked X. I just didn't track it
either. I think that was always an Injustice slash DC thing.
Any DC kind of thing?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I think that's what it was. Yeah. But I wish they actually had that. All right. Well, yeah. The microtransactions, in my opinion, a little overblown. I think we need to focus on the progression and grind. But
yeah. Yep.
We'll see how NetherRealm responds. Now we move on to our next topic, a little news. See, we're bouncing back and forth, folks. Got a great flow to this show. We're going to be talking about Persona 5. So Persona had a week. They officially revealed Persona 5 the Royal, which is a addition to the base game of Persona, adding a whole new semester, two new social links, one of them being Kasumi, who's going to be a new character, part of your team. They're adding new events, new story, a lot of stuff. And what's interesting is that we know that this new character, Kasumi, does not like the Phantom Thieves, that the main group from Persona 5. And so folks are wondering if she's actually going to be on our side when pushing
the show. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I don't think she will.
Yeah, and I don't think so either. And so pretty much if you haven't played Persona 5, but you've played maybe Persona 4, which I don't know how you could play 4 and not want to play 5. But anyway, it's a lot like Persona 4 Golden for comparison's sake. You know, it's adding in a ton of new content and stuff to mess around with. So let's start off with Persona 5, the Royal. We'll get into Scramble later. Are you interested at all in Royal?
Yeah.
All right.
Yep, very much so.
Awesome.
I will admit I was waiting for their announcement of like Persona 5 on the Switch.
Mm-hmm. That's what everyone thought Scramble was.
Yeah, it is for sure. I don't remember. I thought maybe we even talked about it at the end of the podcast. I can't remember, but like for a while, that's what I thought it was. And as somebody who just enjoyed Dragon's Dogma on the Switch, I was like, you know,
ready.
I was all, that's another huge, yeah, like that. I don't know if I would have played it all the way through, but dude, the Switch can handle that shit, I think, with some adjustments. Look at how it handled Mortal Kombat. Brilliantly, by the way, if anybody wonders.
Another positive for Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, like the Switch version of that game, the combat just works, as Todd Reyes would say.
Woo.
But no, I'm excited for it. I mean, I'll check it out for sure.
Yeah, I personally can't wait. I actually just made a video today talking about like if people have not played Persona 5, which Bug043 had said, never actually played Persona 5, a good reason to get, to grab it, just like the early Tales Definitive. Also in before Tales Musou game announcement. That'd be awesome. I'd love a Tales Musou game. But anyway, yeah, if you've never played Persona 5, I always say to people, yes, even with the Royal announcement, that Persona 5 is a excellent game on its own, and the Royal could only stand to add to that if it's good content. But standing alone, it's like a 130-hour game easily, and feature complete, tons of stuff to do, replayable, social links, great character interaction and building, a story that actually is cohesive despite its length, which is really hard to find nowadays. You fucking can't find it in like a 30-hour, 20-hour game, let alone a 100-plus-hour game. So it's really fantastic in that department. But yeah, like I said, the Royal's adding in that third semester, which is like the biggest thing, because that's a lot of content. Like Persona 4, for comparison, I think they added 2 weeks at the end of the game for you to do social links before it all ended. But this game's adding, like, I think 3 months or something to the game. 3 more months to play around, which, think about that. That's a lot.
As long as there's no cat, as long as the cat's not stopping me from
cat's
taking
my... Oh, cat's going to be here. Cat's going taking, human.
No, cat, yeah, but I don't want anything stopping that fucking 3 actions you can take every night.
Mm.
As long as that shit doesn't pop up, I'll be fine. I'll be good.
Imagine if now you could punch Morgana in the face finally at like the
middle
of the game because he's a human.
It's called like the Carrick skill or something like that, because I bitched about that a lot and I get it. People are probably really tired of me bitching about it. But yeah, that's the only thing that I don't want any artificial stops, whatever that, you know, the term would be. But yeah, to me, that's a lot of content. I think it's very cool. What's the price?
It's going to be 60.
What do you think of that? Are you cool with it being 60?
Okay, so
the original hasn't seen a drop.
Original's dropped to like 20. pretty.
Oh, I just looked online. It was $59.99. I probably looked at the wrong store. Yeah. On Amazon, actually.
Holy shit.
It was about 2 weeks ago.
What?
So if it dropped, yeah, it could have been the buyer or the seller. Maybe I didn't get the official seller.
Yeah, let me just, not that I don't trust you, just let me verify.
No. Go check for sure, because I have, that's why I was asking you about the price. If the original's 20, great.
So Persona 5 PlayStation Hits is $20 on Amazon. Yeah, you might have just been looking at a different seller, which
I was looking at a different seller then.
Yeah, it's about $20 now. Best 20 bucks you could spend easily. Holy shit, that's so much bang for your buck. That's actually, I'm jealous of people who could experience that much content for $20 and it all being really good. Bug says 100 plus hour game seems so daunting. It'd be a wonderful reason to use the Switch if it ever came out, though I would be afraid of the obviously reduced graphics or frame rate. See, the thing with Persona on the Switch is that I was doing some research with actually Never That Kid, who's in the chat right now, and Persona 5 uses a custom engine that was built just for that game, and that's why it took so long for it to come out, but obviously why it came out so damn good. The thing with Persona 5 is that if you have a custom-built engine and it's exclusive to the PS4, I'd imagine some assets and part of that engine are built specifically to utilize that console.
Right?
So you'd have to change that to make it work on another system, which I think is possible. We've seen so many companies go, this is impossible, and then do it years later. I just think it's going to take a lot more time than folks expect.
And is it a, you know, it also depends, like, do you hire a port company? Mm. Please not Iron Galaxy, please. But you hire a port company, right? And they go in and they port it to an Unreal Engine just to get it to work on the on the Switch as well. And we have seen game engines actually switch when there's been ports done. But yeah, you are absolutely right. It is a PS4, made specifically, you know, one time just for that game.
Yeah,
and maybe Persona 5.
Yeah. And the other thing could be is put a Persona 5 on the Switch when you have the Royal coming out, which could also come to the Switch bit later. I mean,
or what if, a little bit later.
Because think about how every game that gets ported to the Switch, they don't get usually, I mean, there's probably
an day and date.
Yeah, but they don't get a day and date, but there's usually that version that has all the content somehow, like Skyrim. Is a good example. It came with not only the base game, which seemed kind of crazy in its own right despite its age, but also all the DLC. I thought that was really neat. And like I said, I'm sure there's examples of games that have come in just their base form and lost the DLC. But I think with Persona 4, 5 The Royal, provided that content's good, it'll be better to see down the road that come to the Switch, because people forget a lot's happened with Persona. And also, this is a game that doesn't get simultaneous worldwide releases.
True.
It's coming out in Japan this year. So Atlus, as a Japanese company, is probably approaching it as like, okay, this is our big holiday launch. We're going to give people Persona 5 The Royal. Next year comes out in the West. We can't forget Persona Q2, which just got a bunch of new trailers and screens today. And that's coming out, I think, this summer. Then you have Persona 5 Arena, which has been leaked. I think Gear Nuke was the one who leaked it, if I remember correctly. Someone can fact check me on that in the chat. But anyway, Persona 5 Arena leaked. Now you have Persona 5 Scramble. Like, a lot's happening where, and that's also coming to the Switch, where it may not be P5 on the Switch, but there is a lot happening in Persona where Atlus probably has a timeline, a game plan to get a ton of Persona projects out within the next two and a half years, I'd say. That's a good idea. Not to cut you off, but he said, I think they'll add a royal ending, like Persona 4 Golden added the golden ending to the game. So it might have some choice and consequence. And that's a really good point, because Persona 4 is the one game I played, got the bad ending the first time, thought it was the best game ever, and then came back a second time and realized I missed like 40 hours of content. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, though. Keep going.
No, that's all right. No, I was just going to say that is a good point.
Mm.
Like, it, depending on how they release things, and I had also forgotten that they were... that they did a split release on that for the Japanese version, too.
Yeah, which I don't know how that works for them, because Persona 5, upon the announcement of the Royal, they were like, oh, it sold 2.5 million copies, which pretty damn good, actually, when you look at some releases. I think that gets kind of watered down when you look at a Spider-Man PS4, 9 million or whatever. Star Wars Battlefront 2, 11 million. You're like, oh, 2.5 million. But for a JRPG series, I'd say that's pretty strong.
I mean, yeah, like, come on. It's Spider-Man. Dude, Spider-Man would have sold 3 million if it was Amazing Spider-Man 3.
Yeah,
it was just as shitty.
That's true.
Right? I mean, it would have.
to answer your question, he said, is Royal like P5 with all its DLC or a spinoff game? It is a new version of Persona 5, to put it simply, that adds in a bunch of content. Did I answer your question when you were like, how do you feel about it being $60?
Yeah, we figured out that they originally dropped the price of the original, so we're fine.
Yeah, I was going to say that $60 in general was fine for me, because I feel like that's going to be a lot of people's first time experiencing it. And I don't sit on the path of mind often that, like, oh, if someone does something a lot, that just makes it okay because it's normal for them. But Atlus has historically always done multiple versions of the game that add in a ton of content. Like, Persona 3 has The Answer, Persona 4 has Golden, 5 has the Royal now. And each one changes, like, the ending, extends the game in many ways, builds.
Yeah, they're not normal. They're not, like, let's be honest, they're not a normal remake of a game, or a special edition of a game.
It's not like Pokemon, where they're like, here's Moon and Sun, and they have, like, slightly varied changes throughout the Pokemon you encounter, and that's it, which some people get a kick out of that. All the more power to them. But I think Persona does it right, where, you know, when you get another version, I mean, there's a reason that they released it in, what, 2017, and now come 2020, 3 years later, we're getting a ton more content. I think that's why. Never says, the way I look at it is, many games have DLC and do an Ultimate Edition. I think this is Atlus's version of an Ultimate Edition. They just don't sell extra content separately. But how would you feel about that? Would you rather Atlus do, say,
$20 for the extra stuff?
Yeah, and yes. Add it into I feel like just more choice would be good. That makes the
Sense. More choice would be good, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with rewarding your current base who's already got it.
Yeah. And I just wonder, maybe they don't do that because perhaps little parts throughout the entire game have completely changed. So
they can patch it. I think they don't do it because they don't need to.
I don't know. I'm just trying to reason with it. I just feel like it's, doesn't make sense. I'd like for them to do that. Or even if it was $30, $30 expansion. You know, we've seen that before.
Well, and that's what we need to get back to. I've always been a big believer in expansions. Shivering Isles, again, one of the best games ever, and it's an expansion, but probably has the best starting of any expansion ever in history. So, hey, if you want to do an expansion, not a little mini DLC, and you want to sell it for $30 and be like, this is it, or for $60, you can buy the ultimate whatever edition. Nothing wrong with that.
Right. Yeah. But on top of all those announcements, we got Persona 5 Scramble, which is announced the following day after Persona 5 the Royal. Some people were like, temper your expectations, it might not be Persona 5 on the Switch. And it turns out it wasn't. Scramble is a Dynasty Warriors style Persona game, which, look, my friend Brian and I had been like clamoring for something like this. When we joke about it, we'd be like, oh, imagine Joker doing this and fighting like a bunch of oh my god, what's the name of this Persona? Jack Frost. Imagine him fighting like a bunch of Jack Frost, and then the fucking trailer happens, and you see Joker run onto the streets of Shibuya, and he's fighting like 40 Jack Frost. I think Dynasty Warriors style games like Fire Emblem Warriors, Hyrule Warriors, man, they are such a guilty pleasure of mine. And I gotta say that I am pumped about this. How do you feel about Warriors games? You about them at all?
What's the one? Not Dragon Warrior. What's the one
Dragon
that they
Quest
did?
Warriors?
Yeah, I actually liked... So how many of those have they done? Two, right?
I think two, yeah.
I actually liked one of those. I can't remember which one, to be honest. So I'm okay with these.
Mm-hmm.
They're just... They're a different style, a completely different style of game, same universe. I'm actually sort of cool with them. I don't think it fits Persona, though.
Interesting.
At all. So I got to see how they're going to fit it in and make it like make any sense where I would want to play it. I'm interested in it. I have no problem with companies doing that kind of stuff. If I did, I couldn't accept Raving Rabbids and Mario and shit. But I am cool with that. Just need to see how it fits.
I love spinoffs. So, and I think Persona does the best spinoffs. We talk about fighting games, dancing games. They've done all of them really well. And I love how it never just said this. Persona having an action fighting style system rather than turn-based would be really neat to see, because we've never had that style of control over our characters. I think part of the satisfaction of the Persona gameplay is also the style in which things are performed, and it's often you press a button, you watch the thing happen, rather than in a Warriors game where it's like square, square, triangle, triangle, and you do this crazy combo, wipe out 40 people. And that's kind of, for me, like I said, it's a guilty pleasure because it's not very deep, but it feels good. And for a game as stylish as Persona 5 to now bring in that style of gameplay and hopefully have that same level of detail and style from the original, I mean, I really like that.
Because that last part is what I'm worried about, though.
What? The
translating the turn-based amazing animation and shit into a full-on action game to a company that, let's be honest, and a game series that I don't think has ever been known for amazing animations on their call. So, like, the exact strength that you say is what will be their most difficult hurdle, for sure. That's going to be a hard hurdle for them to get over.
I think
it doesn't
the story
mean they
will
won't
be
do
a
it.
Hard hurdle, because Persona's known for its story, and Warriors games have never told a good story.
I don't even understand half of the Warriors games. I mean, a lot of times it's just like, this bad guy is running over here, and you're all, okay, I'll follow him. And it's like, now kill his group of people. Yeah, all right, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I do wonder, though, because we know it's coming for the Switch, and Switch usually does, like, a cool bonus character or something like that. I wonder if they'll find a way to do, like, a Nintendo-style character in this game to run around as, because run around as, rather, because...
That'd be cool.
You know, obviously you're going to be running through these levels as Joker, Ryuji, Morgana, and so on. And I wonder, like, how they're going to add to that if they put it on, when they put it on the Switch, or if they will at all, if it'll just be a standard launch. But, man, I am excited for that one. I think it'll be a fun time. I don't think it's going to be, like, best game ever, but Persona's done a good job. Like, 4 Dancing All Night actually had a legitimately good story, I'd say. And it was a dancing game, but it had a good story. Yeah. And I was like, wow, it actually worked. And so that's when I bought in. And Arena Ultimax had a good story. I thought to myself, man, all right, if they're going to do a good job with these stories, do all the spinoffs you want. Q2, or Q1 rather, great story. I don't know, man. That's the only thing I'm concerned about. We'll see in due time. Last segment, this is your chance to get involved. We're going to start off with the patrons in the Discord. They fired away with a handful of questions, and then we'll turn our attention towards the Twitch chat. So, question number one comes from Big Bandito Boss. He says, this is for you and Carrick. Name one game you already really like that you'd want to see tackling a completely different genre from what it already used to be. Holy shit. That's actually a perfect transition. Wow. Did not plan that one. He said, example, I love StarCraft, but I would really like to see an FPS or TPS come out from that franchise. So, Carrick, what's a game series that you really like that you'd like to see hop genres? Man, that's a hard one to just pull out of your ass.
Man.
We're in a gaming world where we're usually not left wanting. So much good stuff out there.
Man.
Oh, I had a good idea. What the fuck was it? I had an idea. I'll start. Danganronpa.
Yeah, go ahead.
I've told you about Danganronpa.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a visual novel game. And it is fantastic. And as time went on, it got more and more gamey. They added more mechanics and things to do. So it felt more like a video game and less like just reading. And so by V3, it felt like a legitimate game. But my friend and I, and this actually fits perfectly with what we were just talking about, always speculated about, imagine if they did like Danganronpa Warriors. Because there's this thing that happens where in Danganronpa 2 that makes a lot of these characters, we'll say, super powerful. And when you learn their origin story, it would be awesome to play as those characters and run around some of the levels and fight different Monokuma bots. And they've tried action before in Danganronpa. They did Ultra Despair Girls, which that one was okay. But it was a Vita game, so it was like, and they ported it to the PS4, so it's probably a lot better there. Anyway, I'd love to see Danganronpa take a more action-styled approach with it. Anyway, that's kind of my submission.
I am having such a hard time because a couple games I've already tried, Halo and Halo Wars, moved to an RTS. I was going to say Dragon Age being like turn-based. Dragon Age actually has in the 1 or 2 still allowed you to pause, I believe. And technically sort of began as that. Mm-hmm. I mean, man. Matt. Dude. I usually don't even think of cross genre that much. I usually think of like cross media, like a movie becoming a game.
Right.
So it's like I'm trying to think of what our best games. Jesus, dude. So there's
Spider-Man would have definitely been on my list, like the way Insomniac did it. Like I was like, oh yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like I've got, now that we've got Spider-Man in that format, that would, you know, those kind, like there isn't really another format. I don't really have a good answer for that. Like I don't even know. I mean, some of my favorite series have already tried or have a very close equivalent already. Somebody mentioned what I was going to mention, which was Mass Effect as a XCOM, but technically really I mean, you could say something like that, but there's like 18
indie games.
Do you see
Divinity Original Sin is doing like an XCOM style game? Isn't that wild?
They could, but actually Divinity Original Sin as a third person game could be fun.
Ooh.
A full on like something more along like Dragon Age Inquisition. I hate to even bring that title up because I know so there's so many divergent thoughts on that, but I could see that because remember I grew up on Divinity or Divine Divinity, which was before Divinity Original Sin, and they were Diablo style games. So and then now they move to what we've got now. But yeah, I would say that would be cool to see. Because I've always been a fan of those guys in that world and all that shit. So
I
would have
said Dragon Ball
sort of
World game, but that's happening this year from Namco, retelling all of Z.
Yeah.
Here's one. I'd love to see Pokemon take more of a an action approach in the mainline series and not be turn taking. That's one for sure.
Like a battle game, like a fighting game?
Yeah, like
game
when you let's say you face a trainer, he stops you in the road. They're like, hey, let's battle. That it doesn't fade to black and then load in, and you're in like this turn-taking screen where you press battle and you pick your move, but instead you actually kind of like Pokken Tournament, you
okay,
fight against the other Pokemon.
And isn't there an N64 game that does that too?
You're probably thinking of Pokemon Stadium, which that's a turn-taking game too. That's a great
one. Is it turn as well?
Yeah.
Is it turn as well? Okay, it's been a fucking ages since I played that.
It's so fun. I love that game.
Yeah, that would actually be those kind of goofy things I really like.
Mm-hmm.
So anything like that. But I don't really have I don't even have an answer because I'm trying to think of like the games I like, and many of them have seen either really close equivalents or already started. Because I was going to say Fallout, and Fallout started as like that kind of game. Because I'm actually more of a fan of the older style. I love Fallout 3. I really like Fallout 4, despite, you know, it having its issues. But it started out, you know, in the original top down, and that's actually what I was going to say. And then I was like, well, fuck, it's actually where it began. So there's no real reason to turn that around. Skyrim. No, see, Skyrim is a fucking face down, like the original Fallouts would just turn into Divinity Original Sin. But something like that might be interesting.
I'd love to see this isn't really an answer to the question, but I'd love to see PlayStation All-Star Battle Royale 2. Holy shit.
What was the original? What did they mix in the original?
They had like Sly Cooper, Nathan Drake. They had
right.
Yeah,
okay.
And they had them all fighting. And now that PlayStation's added so many new characters, like imagine the cover guy from Bloodborne. Imagine Spider-Man in there. Imagine Aloy, the main lead from Death Stranding. I don't know his name, but like think of how many characters they've added since that game, and how they could just make a whole new fighter. That'd be
on
so fucking awesome.
The Sega Saturn, there was a game called Fighters Megamix, which mixed Fighter Eaten Vipers, Last Bronx, Virtual Fighter, but also allowed you to be goofy characters like the Daytona racing car, and you ran around on your bumpers punching people. But it used the Fighting Vipers and Virtual Fighter graphics engine and fighting. So you could be like a fucking pinata. You could do there was crazy fighters, so you could have like a Fighting Vipers character against a Last Bronx character, Virtual Fighter, and then a fucking Daytona car against some sombrero wearing hot dog. I'm not lying; like it was crazy. It reminded me a little bit. What's that game that came out for the PS2? That was a fighting game with just crazy ass characters. Oh, I can't remember that. With the panda bear. Oh,
I'm thinking of Kung Fu Panda games, but I know I'm wrong.
No.
On that.
No, shoot, I can't remember. I can't remember,
Tekken,
but yeah, yeah.
Tekken have a panda bear character?
Maybe that's what I'm thinking. God, no, there was an older game. Anyway, we could go on forever, but yeah, I do like fighting games, so if anything, I would probably do what you're saying, like grab some a mega, so it wouldn't be one character. It'd be multiple characters. That's why I like, you know, Master Chief getting in a Dead or Alive or something like that. I enjoy that kind of stuff.
I love that too. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's very cool.
Thank you for your question, Big Boss. For the Twitch chat, you should probably start submitting your questions because I don't know how extensive this next one will be. But Grimblade asks, what will it take for you to adopt VR? Price reduction, new tech, killer app, etc. Now, he tagged me in this. I think it's because he knows you, Carrick, already have VR and you've already been playing it. So for me, what it would take is, I'd say less of a price reduction. That really hasn't been enough to stop me at looking at it, because I feel like it could be a little more affordable, but I think so far, if I saw a bunch of games, not just like the killer app, but a handful of games that looked competent enough, that were full experiences, that
full games, yeah,
that's what would push me, because I see a lot of fun times that could be had, like, oh, let's play a little Beat Saber, a little, I think, Blades and Glory look like fun little games, but they're just short little things that you play for half an hour, an hour, and maybe two, and you move on, and then you can come back to them every now and then. They're just purely fun. I think there's something innocent about that, but I know my tastes and I know how I approach games, and I like the complete thing. And when I don't get that, I just know that I'm not getting the full money's worth from my system. So I guess you could argue then the price would become an issue because the apps there don't push me to pick it up. But yeah, that's what it would take for me to get a VR system. I would like to see a better bulk of games. I guess the tech is always improving, always getting better.
Yes,
where that would kind of go hand in hand. By the time we start seeing better games, there will be better tech. So that's where I sort of sit on it.
I think the experience is your answer is probably the major answer. I think most people give is that they need to be, and there are, but they're not easy to find, the full experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to like itemize them and figure out, you know, which ones are like a full experience versus like just 3 hours of really good fun, what their price is. We've talked about that, like Switch tax. There's VR tax for sure. There's definitely a VR tax. You'll see games that you're like, oh, it's $59.99. Then you go look at the price and you're like, what the fuck? This price is crazy. So also, do you ever worry, or do you ever think that maybe another reason you don't get it is, even if you did have those games, if you would really continue to use it after the first, like, initial, it's not even those games, it's also that continued support, right?
Right.
You know, if you have six games, where's the seventh game? Where's the eighth one? You always buy into what you hope is a live ecosystem.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Sizable Mattress said, is Carrick always cold and that's why he wears a hat?
No, it's to fucking protect everybody from my brain power. Once I take it off, it's fucking everybody's dead.
Let's see here. Let's see here.
Not sure if you see Bearded Pandas?
Yeah, I'm just looking at it right now. Not sure if you saw this in the Discord. Bearded Panda says, what are your thoughts on Halo Infinite allegedly having a budget so far of $500 million? Well, I've sent a future of microtransactions. That's my thoughts on that big of a budget. Games with large budgets always want to make all that money back and then some. And the way they do that is having lots of money coming in. And it's not just through game sales. So
in
terms of the
game
itself, I hope the campaign's fantastic and the rumors of an RPG are true. But sorry, I cut you off.
No, I would just say that most likely what they're getting the 500 from is 250 for the game, 250 for PR, which is normal to do 50-50. Which is still, by the way, incredibly high, but I don't feel it's insanely high for a Halo game that I personally feel they are going to push. It's called Infinite for a reason. I've said this before.
It's
Halo,
the last
they
Halo
don't.
For a while.
Yep. Or yeah, and it's going to be Infinite. They'll figure out a way. There's no Microsoft never names the Halo games like they name their Xboxes, where you're just like, why the fuck did you name it this? That's not how the Halo
like
games work. Mm-hmm. And so I mean, when it comes down to it, most likely it's like a continued, like continued world building, continued support, and all that's built in. Another thing is, you hear a game costs $50 million, but whenever I talk to a developer, they're like, no, it was more like $100. And what you hear is one number, and then you don't hear about, you know, how they track support.
Mm.
Microsoft has a tendency to track support for a longer period of time. So.
Bearded said no marketing is supposedly not included.
Yeah. Nah, I think that's bullshit. I don't only think it's bullshit. Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll just say that. Yeah, I think it's. Yeah.
Okay.
Some of the people I've talked to who work there, it doesn't. It's not.
Right on.
It's not exactly, I think, what people think. But I do believe it'll be Infinite. I believe that
sure
name is.
Fuck well.
Dude, come on. You know what I mean? That's I have a feeling we're also going to see it on, or see something from Halo on other systems, and they're including that price too.
Bug043, for both Maddie and Carrick, is there a if there was a specific bad game, he put bad in quotes, like a Duke Nukem Forever that you could give a do over, which would it be? Edit. For example, mine would be Sonic 06. So I guess a game that you could play. With it on the right track, and it would end up being a good game. It came out bad. You know it's bad. You want it to be good. You want to love it. Some of us out there still love the bad game anyway. I'm trying to think. What's the game I played? I was like, this is bad. Oh, okay. I got a decent one. I wouldn't qualify it as a bad game, but the first one that came to mind, probably because I was talking about it recently, ReCore. I would have loved for that game to be
no shit, better. Right? Right? I got the other game. Same company, all Quantum right. Break.
Oh yeah, I liked Quantum Break, but I know
no, I didn't hate it, but yeah. it would there were you said you know you didn't hate, and I'm going the same way. Well, Andromeda is a good one, but I don't even want to get into that.
Oh,
but
my
yeah,
God. Yeah, the chat's popping off with really good options.
Yeah, yeah, that one's good all by itself. But no, seriously, Quantum Break had the idea in my head. Like when I saw it originally, I love the idea of that, a modern weird superhero conspiracy with a movie being involved, all this shit.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck yeah, I would have loved to have seen that be a great game.
Fallout 76.
I saw that.
Yeah, that's a good
that's
one.
That's a go-to answer, though,
that
too.
That is absolutely... That didn't cross my mind at all.
Anthem came up. That's another one. No Man's Sky I'm fine with. It just wasn't what we... I mean, even day one, I actually enjoyed some bits of No Man's Sky. But I would say Andromeda for sure.
Well, speaking of...
I liked Watch
Dogs. Yeah, I liked Watch Dogs as well. Speaking of BioWare, Batpig asks, with all the news going on about BioWare's Anthem, which we also recently just saw that they delayed their roadmap and called it 100% early access. Holy shit, that's bad. He asks, how would you feel if BioWare announced KOTOR 3 out of the blue? I would be very upset.
Me too.
I know that game would not see the light of day, and if it did, oh my god, it would be fucking bad. It would be very, very bad.
I would honestly like for...
I'd be angry.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't even know what they can do. I mean, they're in a shambles, obviously, and I don't think it's cool to be like, you guys all deserve to be fired and shit like that. Whatever, let them try to fix what they've got going on right now. I don't want them. I would rather have them not touch KOTOR 3 and have KOTOR 3 go to somebody else, even if it's somebody else in EA. I know that sounds crazy, but what I'm saying is they are not prepared, obviously.
Yeah.
For that game.
Especially after the Jason Schreier article where you saw they gave Anthem like 8 years and EA let them plan for like 5 or 7 of those before they were like, all right, show us something, you know, and they still had nothing.
People love to blame EA, but I'm sorry. We talked about this way before that leak. Way before that. Or sorry, BioWare. We talked about that way before that we were under the impression that it was BioWare who was responsible.
Mm-hmm.
So it's they have to foot the bill. And I don't want him footing the bill by trying to fucking... Oh, my God. Yeah, I don't want him touching KOTOR.
Yeah. I don't think it would end up being good.
Let somebody else do it, man.
There's
other companies in
it. Hopefully that deal between EA and Disney gets torched when it expires, rather.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think... Yeah. If that doesn't get torched, then I don't know what's happening. You know, behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. Like, something mysterious is happening that we can't track if that continues on.
Yeah. Let's see here. We'll do one more question. I didn't know that. Wow.
What?
Lord of the Rings TV show has $1 billion behind it beating Game of Thrones. That's awesome. I love Lord of the Rings, so that is awesome.
One thing to remember is a lot of these companies are starting to announce their full project budgets prior and not the like per season budgets anymore. Mm-hmm. So
I'm looking for one more question here.
I'll answer this one while you're looking.
Okay.
This is interesting to me. Batpig also said, Maddie and HCG, after VR, what do you see as the next innovation in gaming? And that's actually, to me, that's actually really exciting to talk about because...
That's a good one.
I don't even know, like, if it would be an innovation or if it would be an increasing of VR. But I honestly, I mean, now that you've got Google talking about contacts where they can use AR... But it's in a contact, you know, now that they've got micro printing. Yeah. Yeah, there's that is within 5 years where they will start showing that for sure. So, like, that kind of stuff is really just VR, AR, but the next step. I do honestly believe that kind of stuff will be, like, so it'll still be sort of VR in a weird way. It's just, I believe that that is the future. I mean,
AR. Yeah, AR is the future.
Yeah, there's something there that I think we're missing with price and size, headsets and all that shit. But it feels to me like that's the next step. Even if it's AR over the... I mean, dude, I don't want to put anything in my eye, just so you know. I've had eye surgeries. I don't want to put something else in there. But it does feel like that kind of stuff. Neuralink. Look at Elon Musk and Joe Rogan. When you get Elon Musk
think
talking...
Think of Deus Ex.
Yeah, and Elon Neuromod. Musk is like, no, I've started... Well, in Steam, one of the guys at Valve was even talking about Neuralinks. And, like, they are not incredibly far away. Grimblade... posted some stuff in your Discord where
yeah,
it's like, yeah, people are able to control drones now. Like there's, what if you and I sat down and somehow, I don't know how this would work, but somehow we're playing a fighting game where we're not using the controller. You're like, that shit's,
you're just fighting.
That's shit's cool. Yeah. That shit's, even if you're just going punch, 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 kick, punch, 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 kick. Like that shit's awesome. I don't know if it'd be an evolution, but it'd be very cool.
Last question I wanted to snag was Bug asking, what do we think about the increasing advent of crunch in video game development? What's the proper response to that dilemma? I think the best route is pretty much actually what we saw Super Meat Boy's dev team do, and also what Respawn just did with, I almost said Titanfall in my head. What is its name? Apex Legends. They said, we have a roadmap for Apex Legends. We are sticking to that, but we also don't want to sacrifice the culture we've built and crunch because then it's not healthy for us. Super Meat Boy as well said, we're delaying it because we could grind until the end, but we don't want to do that. And I think that's the right response. I just don't want that to set a standard for companies trying to posture their lack of crunch as good PR. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I want it to be a thing that's normal. Like, it's expected. It's not something we got to go, thank God you're not working yourselves into the fucking ground. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to see that be a normal thing where it doesn't have to be announced. Where if they're delaying a project, that makes sense in the case of Super Meat Boy. But in the case of an Apex Legends, to me, it just sounds like less of a delay and more like, hey, here's what's going on. And by the way, we're not crunching. So... Yeah,
I mean,
that's where I sit on it.
Yeah, it would be the same thing where it would be nice to be at a point where it's not the discussion point because it's already fixed. I will say I do get a little bothered sometimes because sometimes hard work is fine, too. Mm-hmm. So there isn't crunch. You know, if you're like, do you want to work overtime? It's completely acceptable and we can improve our game that way. And somebody's like, or somebody's smaller, because I think we do hit on a 3-person team who's like, listen, we only got 6 months. We're going to do 8 months of work in 6 months. I also think there should be some flexibility in there for people to do things that, like, you know, work harder. That's fine. Work smarter is also your main option. But I think most likely what we will see is unions, which, having had experience with them, that's not always as good as it sounds. They have their own.
That's what I've
every system.
Heard. I don't
yeah,
know
every
for sure,
system
but...
has its issues, and it's people who use stuff against, you know, and where costs rise and stuff. But yeah, that's probably your best bet because nobody wants somebody to fucking get burned out. And dude, the number of people I've followed, Maddie, who are gone from the industry, not only because of burnout,
happens a lot.
Yeah, but also burnout combined with, let's say, people attacking them on YouTube. You know, like a YouTube, you know, like they're sitting there make a game. Somebody attacks them on YouTube because they didn't put this in their game or whatever. And they're like, fuck this industry. I'm leaving. Like that I in a weird way, I would unions are awesome for this kind of thing. It could help fix it for sure. But I think there's more needed. It's beyond union. It's beyond just putting an organization and saying they'll take care of it, because I don't. It's not exactly how it goes. There's other things that need to be taken care of. Mentality of it. Bad PR decisions of saying this game is going to be ready in 2 years. And remember, extended time doesn't fix shit, because we're looking at Anthem right now.
Yeah.
And we're...
And that probably should have just been canceled.
Yeah. We're looking at games where people have been given a shit ton of time. And that still... And yes, they had crunch at the end. But what I'm saying is they also had a bunch of extra time and it still didn't turn out good. That's nerve-wracking, too. It won't be the fix of games. I think a lot of people think, Maddie, that it's magically, like, oh, man, this will make every game good. The skill has something to do with it.
You got to realize there's management. There's management issues.
Mm, yeah.
And so
yeah,
that stuff needs
and
to be...
Good ideas. Fixed. Skill.
Yeah. That, too. Yeah, skill is a thing.
Dude, how many times have you and I talked about this where somebody's like, well, this $60 should be identical to this $60 game. And you're all, dude, this guy's a better artist than this guy. Mm-hmm. Like, that shit happens. I know nobody wants, it's uncomfortable to hear because everybody wants to think they're a winner. But guess what? You're not. Sometimes you have to actually sit down and study shit and you have to get better. And sometimes you won't have as good of a skill. You're better at things than I am. And no matter how hard I may try, I probably will never get to your whatever you excel at. There's certain things you excel at. And sometimes in a game, you get a team that just doesn't have that skill. And
right.
We get Alekhine's gun or Gene Rain or Far Cry.
Oof.
Ooh, I said it.
Oof. He said it.
Honestly, by the way, I was going to say Far Cry is another game. When the person said, do you want what bad game? Would you know what bad game would you like to give another chance? And I would say this last Far Cry, not New Dawn, but the other one. I would like to have seen it. Yeah, it had a lot of technical issues, and I wasn't really impressed with the world or anything. I would have liked to have seen them try something different.
Yeah, I can get behind that. All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, that will conclude our final segment of the show. We hope you enjoyed our special that we did live for the Ham Radio Podcast, episode 200. We really need a lot of feedback on this one, so be sure to tweet at us. Let us know in the comments if this should be a weekly thing, if you guys like kind of us diverging, involving viewers who are on Twitch. Because I know what happens is we stream this live on a Friday. So does that defeat the point of the early access for the patrons? Like, we're trying to, we just want to experiment here, get a lot of feedback and decide where we want to go from there. It seems like a lot of people really enjoyed the show. I mean, we sat at a pretty concurrent, 80 to 90 people, which was way more than I expected. That was awesome.
When we didn't tell a bunch of people, right?
Yeah,
or did you?
We didn't.
I don't think
you
told anybody.
I just last minute, I was like, video, tweet,
yeah,
Discord. All right, we're live. And maybe once we make this a more weekly thing, if possible, more people will tune in. But anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed. And thank you to anyone who during the show donated, subbed. That's really appreciated. And was I didn't even have notifications for that on because I'm using a completely different software to stream for the podcast, so that stuff's not set up. But anyway, really appreciate you guys tuning in.
Yeah,
and
very much so.
We will catch you guys next time with episode 201. Peace out.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs, so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.